Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. One of the most, it's a very sad time in the history of the nation of Israel. And it also shows the great mystery of iniquity or a mystery of sin in our lives. In chapter 32, the prior chapters we've been looking at, Moses has been up meeting with the Lord. And the Lord is revealing to Moses all that he's got in store for Israel. He's revealed to Moses the law that he's to bring. He also, he first spoke it, and the camp of Israel heard it as the Lord spoke it verbally. And then Moses went up on Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord. The Lord gave him both the foundational law in the Ten Commandments, and then he also gave to him the civil law. And then beyond that, we see that he established the special relationship that he was going to have with the nation of Israel, where he would come and tabernacle or meet with them within the camp at the tabernacle. He outlined the tabernacle and how it was to be put together to Moses, revealed to Moses all the elements of it, revealed to Moses the priests and what their tasks were to be, what their apparel was to be, what the purpose of the whole worship of the Lord through the tabernacle was to be, and really showing through all of these things the coming Messiah that we know was the Lord Jesus Christ. And revealing to Moses, to share with the nation of Israel, how that there was one way to come to God, and that was God's way, and how God revealed that to him. All of this was going on. Now Moses went up on Mount Sinai. He was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. It's interesting, the number 40 in the Bible is often a time of testing. It's a time of testing. Moses, during his life, had three 40-year periods. First 40-year period, he was in Egypt. And he was being taught all the things of the world that the world could teach. The best education you could get of a world's education was in Egypt. He got it. The second 40 years, the Lord tested Moses in the wilderness and prepared him for the mission that he had in the last 40 years of his life, which was now, in leading the nation of Israel. And so Moses experienced these three periods of 40 years, and every one of them involved testing and preparation. Now he's on Mount Sinai for 40 days, receiving all of this wonderful revelation from the Lord. Oftentimes, right before God is going to give us some tremendous blessing, he puts us through a phase of testing. While Moses is up there receiving this, the nation and the camp of Israel is being tested by God. Are you going to have faith in me, even though Moses isn't here? Will your faith and trust be in me? Remember, they had heard the voice of the Lord. I've never heard God's voice. But the whole camp of Israel had heard the voice of the Lord. They knew he existed. They proclaimed their allegiance to him. They'd followed him out of Egypt. They'd come and although they were often referred to as a stiff-necked people, yet they had seen the power of the Lord more than once already. Yet we see now something strange is about to happen in the camp of Israel. Let's begin at chapter 1, verse 32. And when people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are on the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. I just want to pause here. This isn't just a little bit of gold that they're going to be bringing. Remember how many people were in the camp of Israel? Many Bible scholars believe that it could have been over 2 million people. And he's telling them, bring all the gold earrings you've got. They've got 2 million people and they've got gold. These 2 million people are bringing it to Aaron. So it's not just a small amount of gold they're bringing, because a lot of times we think of, oh, earrings, it's just a few people. No, it's a lot of people, and it's a lot of gold. Well, they bring it to Aaron, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought the peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made a molten calf, have worshipped it, have sacrificed thereunto, and said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that you would just help us as we look at your word tonight. Lord, it's so easy to be very critical of the nation of Israel, especially when we see their great failures. But help us to realize that we who have been given even more insight and more revelation than this people, oftentimes turn away from you and do that which is wicked and sinful, even as believers. And help us not to be a stiff-necked people, but help us to be a people that will seek to follow you. Lord, help us to learn from the lesson this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very interesting as you look at this how quickly people forget. And how, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, oftentimes God has great blessings in store for us if we but wait for those blessings. But we're often so impatient, and when things don't happen in the time we want them to happen, we give up so quickly. And we often turn from the way we should be going to turn and go the wrong way. I remember a number of years ago, even when right before we got this building, there were a number of people that were attending the church, and we'd been meeting in a motel for quite some time. And it was getting old meeting in the motel. If we wanted to have fellowship, like a church meal or something special, you couldn't really do it because there was no place to prepare the food. There was no place to do it. And oftentimes, we couldn't have extra meetings, or there would be a few times where the place would be taken by others, and so we would have to quickly try to find somewhere else to meet. And it was inconvenient. And some of the people were getting frustrated. And looking back at what God had done in our fellowship, I'd seen that every time that God had wanted us to have a ministry, he'd given us a place to meet, and oftentimes we didn't know what the ministry was going to be. And some of the people were becoming very concerned, and they said, "We need a place to meet. We need our own building." And we put together a group of men to go out and try and find a building, and they weren't finding anything, and the people were becoming more and more impatient. And finally, some of them said, "Well, if we can't get a building, we're going to find a different fellowship." And they left. It wasn't but a few short weeks, not even weeks, it was just a matter of a couple weeks after some of these people had become impatient and left, that all of a sudden this building came available. And God provided us a building. And had they waited but just a few weeks, they would have been meeting with us in this building. And oftentimes what we do is we don't see the blessing that God's in store for us, and we're not willing to wait to see how he's going to provide for us. The nation of Israel was in this situation. Moses had only been gone 40 days. 40 days may seem like a long time, but as I mentioned, the people of Israel had heard the voice of the Lord. They'd seen the power of the Lord and miraculously providing for them in their deliverance from Egypt, and even providing for them as they had come out of Egypt and then begun to wander and come to Mount Sinai, providing food, providing water, providing deliverance. All of these things, a hand of provision, seeing the power of the Lord. And now 40 days, and they can't wait. And their response is, get us some gods, because our God isn't good enough for us. Why did they view that God wasn't good enough? Because they weren't seeing Him work at that particular moment. And the response that they gave is, they went on to Aaron. Now I want you to also understand the position of Aaron. Aaron knew better. Aaron was Moses' brother. And what had Aaron done when they were in Egypt? Moses had said, I am slow of speech. Remember, he said to the Lord, I'm slow of speech. How am I going to go before Aaron? And the Lord said, I will give you your brother Aaron. He can go with you and he will speak for you. In other words, Aaron had a greater ability to speak than Moses did. And so the Lord gave him Aaron. And when Aaron went, the first miracles that they did before Pharaoh, where the rod was thrown down, Aaron was involved in those miracles. Aaron saw the power of God. Aaron was involved with Moses every step of the way as the 10 plagues were brought against Egypt. Aaron was right there. We know that later on at the battle with the Amalekites, who was one of the two men holding up the hands of Moses? Aaron. Aaron knew the truth. Aaron knew all about the Lord. Aaron really was the spiritual, had been assigned to be the spiritual leader, and it was going to be the high priest. The most significant one in leading worship before the Lord was Aaron. Yet, the people go to Aaron because he is their spiritual leader, because he was the right hand of Moses, if you would. And they say to him, in this verse, they went on to gather unto Aaron and said unto him, up. In other words, get up. Get ready and do this. Make us gods. Now, have you ever heard anything so silly as that? Make us gods? How do you make gods? We know that in the book of Jeremiah and also the book of Isaiah and other prophets of the Old Testament, as they addressed the nation of Israel, they condemned them for making gods. They said, you make idols. You go out and in one place they talk about the fact, and you just think about how silly this is. You go out and you see a tree. This tree is alive. You cut down this tree. Now it's dead. Then you take